T-minus 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Launch Sequence Podcast. We're back for another week of chatter. Last week was an exciting one. This week, while not as big a topic, I think it's still plenty important. A lot of things coming to Star Citizen, preparing it for this so-called 1.0, or I guess 4.0 before that. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. And FPS is one of the major things that are changing. One of the premier narrative gameplay YouTube creators, in my opinion, is Detox. And this man knows how to shoot a gun, if you haven't watched his videos. So I wanted to get him on this show so we could talk a little bit about the changes coming up and why they should be happening, because I think we can all say that there are some FPS changes that are much needed at this point. So thank you so much for joining me. How are you doing, dude?
No worries, man. Thanks for having me on. Knowing how to shoot a gun is, you know, don't ask my viewers. They'll give you a different answer than that. But debatable, can be debatable. I'm doing good, thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. Yes, I'm interested to talk a little bit more about these FPS changes. It's been a long time coming. Obviously, the FPS game in Star Citizen has been in some much needed, in need of some updating for quite some time. So, yeah, looking forward to getting into it.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I've been kind of saying in some of my videos recently that almost all of the things that we're seeing updated in 3.23, and I guess some of the updates coming after that, are things that we saw added in like 3.0 or shortly after 3.0. They're all felt really placeholder. Now with these new features coming in from Squadron 42, they feel a lot more prepared for an actual game. And that's the crux of the conversation today, is really how have they improved things to be up to the standard of a AAA game, and are they up to that standard? So thank you everybody for coming and listening. This podcast is available in audio platform if you'd like, with no ads. It is supported by our supporters who can come and watch it live whenever they'd like. So thank you guys also for being here. And let's dive into it, man. I want to start off first by talking a little bit about where your game experience comes from. Because, like, why are we talking about FPS? So what do you play before Star Citizen?
what did I play before Star Citizen? So I'm a 90s, early 2000s kind of golden age, I would say, gamer. You know, I come from Planetside 1, I suppose, is a good place to start, since that's an MMO. On a larger scale, it's an FPS game with combined arms and FPS combat. You know, play a heavy part in the game. It's the heavy role of the game. It's basically, you know, what it's all about. Other games, you know, like, I don't know, if you want to talk like FPS games, I think Doom 2 would have been literally like the very first game I played as a very young kid.
Doom 2, what year?
It would have been freaking early, like midnight. I would have been like 5 or 6 years old. It's like one of the first games I played ever. So
revolutionary though, yeah?
Yeah, it's not exactly, that didn't exactly define like my interest in FPS games, I suppose, but definitely kicked it off. You know, when it comes to like FPS games and FPS combat, I like the sort of group-based FPS games. A game that I play a lot is Hell Let Loose, which is like a milsim World War II FPS game, which came out a few years ago. Okay. I play that quite a bit with my community and people who are in my org, and you know, it promotes team play and squad play, role-based FPS combat, which that's where my interest lies nowadays, I guess, when it comes to FPS games, as opposed to your Call of Duties, running, gunning, 360 no scopes, you know, those kind of FPS games don't really interest me anymore. It's more into the tactical side of FPS games. So
okay.
That's so kind of like, it's kind of where I'm coming from these days.
So when you're looking for an FPS experience, you're looking for something a little more crunchy, like not super fast paced, got a little more
crunchy. I like this description.
It's like, it's got more give to it. You know, there's more, you can juice it more, get more out of the experience than just running out and playing a quick match.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like your sort of throw away, get into a match, play for 30 minutes, get out kind of thing. I like the more tactical approach to FPS combat, which, you know, I think that's the route that Star Citizen is going, and that's that is originally the route that they always kind of aim towards, you know, more armor than Call of Duty is what, you know, they've always talked about in the past. So
yeah, and that's kind of, that'll be part of the conversation today, because we got a whole bunch of different features coming in, but like they've, like you said, they've leaned into this idea that it's a little more simulation, but there are some arguments that they've been getting more and more casual with certain things. I think they're kind of, they're treading a fine line and bringing in things that feel a little more casual and some that feel more in depth, but you do like the direction it's going in?
I think generally, yeah, I do. Generally, I like the direction it's going. It's really hard to tell because we don't really have... I'm looking forward to discussing, but it can be really difficult to tell until we have more. I think maybe distribution centers might be a good start to kind of have more room to experiment and play in the FPS element of the game, you know? But really, what we're kind of restrained to are generally... UGFs, which are, you know, you have very little room there for weapon choice, creativity, tactics, and Jump Town, right? And Siege of Orison as well to some degree, but Siege of Orison is more PvE oriented. We don't have a lot of space yet to kind of really test these elements of the FPS game,
yeah,
and really put it all to the test and really get a feel for where the FPS game is going in Star Citizen. I think 323 is obviously going to be really helpful for testing more of that with, like I said, with distribution centers. They're much bigger. There's much bigger play areas and they will hopefully encompass, you know, all elements of FPS gameplay. But yeah, until then, it's kind of like, yeah, I'm looking forward to just testing it more and having more, yeah, getting a chance to just experience more elements of the FPS game altogether.
Yeah, that was... I think people were pretty excited for Theaters of War for that reason. It's a dreaded thing to bring up, but like you're absolutely right. We don't have that many drawn out, very in-depth FPS encounters. You go in, you kill 8 people, mission's over, you're done. There's not like, mm-hmm. We've only recently started to get more of the experience of like, oh, I'm taking injuries over this long period of combat and I need like a medic to be here and I need to start to manage my ammo more and all that kind of stuff. We haven't had that much opportunity, partially because AI doesn't even work well enough to do that, but also just because the missions aren't good enough and then Arena Commander doesn't run well enough.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've done a lot of events with my org that are sort of FPS-centric that do create area and room for these kind of experiences, these sort of combined arms FPS experiences. We just did one recently. Might not be the best example, but we just did one recently where my org versus another org, it was 30 people versus 30 people, 60 player operation essentially, where we had two sides that had to move in, drop on an 890 jump, get inside the 890 jump, take control and evac the ship out of atmosphere. So we had this element of sort of air battles going on, and then we had this element of sort of CQC FPS combat going on as well on board the ship. These kind of like events give us like a chance to, they do give us a chance to kind of experience some of these FPS elements in a different setting, sort of objective based setting as well, and PvP oriented versus PvE. They kind of help us get an idea, but it's still not really enough. It's not an organic experience ultimately, either. Right. And so again, it comes back to just, we need more gameplay to facilitate the FPS experience so we can test it better, which, you know, which we are getting to very soon,
yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Okay, I've got to bring it up before we really get into the details, because what you're telling me is really the game hasn't gamed enough for us to know how it's going to feel. And one of the biggest pieces of news we've seen in the last week, which we'll probably go over in depth on a future episode, but... talk of Star Citizen 1.0. Again, as I said earlier on, let's not get ahead of ourselves. 4.0 is still like our goal in the future. But, you know, that kind of talk does point towards their shift in thinking of, I think everybody was of the mindset that like we were at least 5 years away up until the point where they would say something, just because you feel the game systems. It's like there needs to be so much more addition on top of this for the game to feel good. And now that we're seeing things like 3.23 and Squadron 42 features coming over, it feels a little more reasonable that it's like 2 to 3 years, maybe.
Yeah.
when you think of a Star Citizen 1.0, and I guess this goes beyond Star Citizen, really, what is like the premier FPS experience? What's required for that to feel good enough to reach that level? You can pick a game or just certain features if you want.
I mean, I look at it from the perspective of mostly kind of orc-centric FPS combat. Again, going back to what I enjoy out of the FPS element of games like this, where it's more tactical and group and squad based. Mm-hmm. To me, like, you know, if we're talking about like FPS combat, FPS gameplay specifically, it comes down to like controlling areas, controlling outposts, controlling areas of interest, areas that have some form of benefit to controlling them, right? Like bases, right? Player built bases, ships in the future as well. When you'll be able to, you know, being able to board a capital ship and control it, take control of it with FPS marines, with soldiers, with players, right? Those are the kind of things where, you know, that where I want to see the FPS element of the game go. It's like moving in on foot, approaching a player built outpost or base or a point of interest in the verse, you know, a CIG built outpost, a colonial outpost or something, where there is something there that needs to be that needs to either be controlled or obtained that you can't get by just shooting it from a ship, right? Like you need to approach it from the ground tactically with a group, or, you know, solo, stealth, you know, however you want to approach it. I want those kind of elements to encompass the FPS gameplay of Star Citizen. Boarding ships, fighting for control of outposts, that kind of stuff. I mean, that's where I see it going. And the space that we have with Star Citizen, planet side and ship interiors, mostly like planet side, there's so much room for a almost like armor-esque experience to unfold organically. You know, like,
yeah,
it doesn't have to be a curated experience. It can happen organically, emergently. Is that a word? Emergently?
Yeah, it'll work. It's fine.
It'll work. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much room in the game for these experiences to happen naturally, as long as there is some kind of incentive there to incentivize it to happen.
Yeah.
You know, let the players do it. You know, let the players figure it out. But
yeah. So you're approaching it from the perspective of like, why are we even FPS fighting? We don't have the applications in game right now that would convince you that Star Citizen 1.0 is even anywhere near it, right? You need more objectives, more reasons, more narrative surrounding it.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely getting there, right? We're definitely getting there. I don't necessarily need a narrative, but yeah, like objective, like reasons to get on the ground and approach an objective from the ground versus doing it with a spaceship, you know, flying.
It also,
and obviously with things like master modes and control surfaces and whatnot, flying in atmosphere, maintaining your position in atmosphere is going to become increasingly more difficult. So,
yep.
Yeah, just that's what we need. We just need incentives to approach objectives from the ground in FPS. You know, Jump Town is a good example to some degree. It has its problems, but it's a good example to some degree.
It also sounds like you're talking more about the squad tactics and stuff. It is something we'll get into, but like the specialized nature of each person, somebody having a certain type of armor or FPS gadgets or certain things to do when you're boarding a ship, as opposed to somebody else who might just have a gun. That sounds like it's pretty important to making sure that's an integral part of FPS for you.
I agree. Yeah, for sure. Everybody kind of, you know, I'm all about choices with this game. It's my approach to master mode. It's why I like, you know, where master modes are heading. We're not going to get into that because, as we said, we're sick of talking about master modes for now. But, you know, I'm all about choices in this game. And I like people to have choices and rooms for their play styles to exist and be useful. And, you know, not everybody wants to be the guy that's on point, you know, leading the way, shooting at everything. Some guys want to be the guy that's at the back, who's a really good medic. They want to get their team back up when they go down. You know, I got guys in my org that like to be the guy that has the ammo and the equipment at hand at all times to give to people when they need it. You know, I got a guy that likes to be the medic. He likes to have a whole backpack filled with You know, he calls it the green goo, which is the, you know, the medical reload stuff. Can't remember what it's called. You know, he's Yui the medic. Juice. We have, yeah, that's it. We got the guy, you know, with the ammunition and the extra armor, our quartermaster who comes with us. We got guys that love just doing everything with a railgun. They love shooting down ships with railguns, you know. And then I got guys that are my pointmen with rifles and LMGs. And, yeah, you know, we already have, like, our own kind of squads built in the org. Mm-hmm. We just need more, a little bit more of the game to kind of accentuate those roles, you know, to kind of just promote them. I think that's the way we're going. I think that is where we're going with the game. I think that's, you know, I think CIG wants to go that route, which is good.
Because right now, if you have somebody who wants to be a medic, there's really only a couple things they have to do. Like, it's definitely more in depth than a lot of games already. But at the same time, it's kind of like you're not getting a full play session if you're just healing people. You also need to bring a gun and be, you know, shooting people down, which, yeah, it might be part of the combat medic gameplay. But if somebody wants to focus on just medicine, I want to be able to tell them, yeah, you don't have to shoot. You can just go in there and have a ton of fun with your friends on a mission. And right now, it's not like the injuries get that deep, or I don't know. I feel like there's definitely more they could put into the medical experience to improve that. And then also, like we're seeing with looting and stuff like that, you said you're more of a supply person. There's just like more ways to make that a more interesting game opportunity than what it's always been.
Yeah, I didn't say I was more of a supply person. I'm much more of the guy that shoots other people. But, you know, we got guys in the org that love to be the, you know, the supply guys. But, I know what you're saying. It's like those areas, like medic gameplay is not really my forte either. But, people who have practiced, even now there are people who I can ask them, what do I need to do to fix this injury better? And they all know off the top of their head, you know, because they've put time into it. They'll know what, like, pens to bring to alleviate issues quicker. Obviously, with the way the game is at the moment, with the gun, you just kind of, like, set it to
automatic it, yeah.
And then it does it for you. But, I think they've talked about a little bit more sort of intricate medical gameplay coming, but I'm not too familiar with it. I haven't really brushed up on my medical side of FPS.
We'll probably see it with the Apollo, I think.
Yes, possibly. Yeah.
How do you feel like over time, like we've gone between a few different systems with FPS and had some pretty big additions. I think one of the biggest probably being like the inventory and looting changes. But over time, how do you think they've done with FPS? Have you like enjoyed it at all? I know some people just think it's the absolute worst there is. Some people think it's decent. Where do you sit?
It's like I said before, it's really hard to get a good feel for what FPS combat is supposed to be and how it's supposed to feel when we have desync is such a massive problem. You know, AI is unresponsive 80% of the time. You know, there are very few objectives that require you to get involved into sort of engaging FPS combat. Most of the objectives that involve FPS gameplay is turn up here, you know, shoot these unresponsive NPCs, collect this item, whatever, and then leave. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard to kind of say how you feel about it. Other than right now, it's one of those things where you know there's so much potential there. There's so much, there's fidelity. The guns are so cool. There's such a variety of different weapons. The reload animations are awesome. The armor looks great. You know, the effects are awesome on all the FPS combat. It feels like it's ready there to be such a cool and fun immersive experience. Mm-hmm. There just isn't enough surrounding it, not enough reason and not enough stability and performance to really let it shine through, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
Otherwise,
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. Otherwise, I do love it. Like, I think there's just so much potential there. Like with so many things in Star Citizen, there's so much potential there with the FPS gameplay. It's not able to shine through yet. We're still waiting on things to get better with AI and performance and desync and, you know, all that stuff.
I don't know if it's desync or lag for me. But I've always felt like the guns never, I mean, it might be a skill issue. I've always felt like the guns just don't hit hard enough. Like they look like they should. And I think it's also something that we get with the ship weapons a little bit too. People talk about whether it's the bassiness or just the presence, but they've always felt like they were kind of lacking in like effects. And that was one thing from CitizenCon that I was blown away by. You were there, so you got to see the live demonstration when they were showing like the new FPS sounds with the weapons.
I didn't see it live because I was at the Fight or Flight booth the entire time. But I've watched it since, and yeah, I the feedback, right? You feel like there's not enough feedback, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think that's true. That definitely they're improving the feedback now. Obviously, moving forward, these FPS updates. I think, like you said, I think a lot of it does come down to feedback when you hit someone or something. Lag and desync gets in the way of that. The instant feedback of shooting someone and getting instant feedback, you hit them and you killed them. You know, sometimes you got to shoot someone. You got to like let a split second or two go through your head before you register that you've killed the guy, because, you know, just the game takes so long to register what just happened sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That is definitely a big element of it. And a lot of the time you'll put more rounds into somebody than you probably needed to, just to be sure, because it's like, you know, you don't know how many of those shots are getting through on the server, you know?
Sometimes when you like shoot someone and then they hit the ground and then a second later, suddenly they're standing back up and then they hit the ground again. You're like, do I shoot this person?
Exactly. Like, I will get through a mag a person sometimes. Like in PvP, I will put a whole mag into a guy just to be sure. So, and sometimes with NPCs, you know, it's like you just don't know. The double tap is necessary, but it's hard. It's this again. It's lag. It's desync. It's performance issues that do kind of create like this barrier to really getting to grips and getting a good feel of what the FPS combat in Star Citizen is like.
Mm-hmm. I would say over the years, I think the experience is pretty trash. Not gonna lie. I'm not much of an FPS player. I was obsessed with Halo, played it a ton, won a couple tournaments, did some stuff, whoop-de-doo. I never played an MMO, so I don't know what the standard is for MMO combat, but Star Citizen's FPS movement has felt off. I don't feel like I've had a interesting enough choice of weapons, which they're starting to get more into now with those lightning guns. Like I said, the feedback obviously was a little bit weird, but also the things that you pointed out, that sort of tactical squad-based gameplay you're looking for, even just down to the ability to VOIP smoothly, like all of these things have just made it so difficult to try and enjoy getting a gun in my hands and playing the game for a reason that even when I go out there and I start shooting people, my favorite part is just picking up the loot.
Like, yeah.
Yay.
No, I mean, you're not wrong. Like I guess I agree with you. It is trash, but I'm kind of like, I don't want to come out and say it's trash because, like I said, there is such a large barrier between what we're doing in FPS and sort of what, you know, how the FPS experience should feel. Mm-hmm. And so much of the FPS experience is reliant on performance being better. Remember when in Space Combat we got that desync update, it fixed the desync, and everyone was like, whoa, wow, this feels so much better, and suddenly, you know, hit rig is so much better and I can hit the pip and everything feels so much more reactive. We've never had that with FPS. It's always just been this, you know, like you said, trashy, slow, drudgy experience. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of just conditioned my brain to accept that now. And it doesn't even cross my mind that it's trash. It is trash, but to me, it's like, well, I can't really call it trash yet because we're not experiencing it the way it's supposed to be experienced. So it's, yeah, I haven't really, it's hard for me to say, call it trash ultimately.
Yeah. Trash might be a bit strong because before 3.15, it was not good. Like that's what I'm really talking about. After 3.15, we got inventory, we were able to loot. We got a health system we got some stuff that made it better. And I feel like 3.23 is going to be another step up. You know, before we got inventory and loot and stuff, now we're going to get mini map and scanning, maybe not scanning in 3.23, but like mini maps and reloads and all that kind of stuff. It's definitely taking steps up occasionally. It's just, I think it always comes back to what you're saying is the stability. That's how people judge the AI. It's how they judge the FPS. It's how they judge the game. Stability has always been the problem. And that's why server meshing is such a big deal for people, because that's kind of what is going to help with that stability. Kind of.
I hope so, right? Yeah. Kind of. I mean, it's a little bit like DayZ, right? Like DayZ's FPS experience was trash as well for a very long time. Janky, you know, drudgy. It's like it's got that armor feel, obviously, because it came from a mod originally, and it has that clunky feel to it. But the FPS experience, to me, like DayZ, it's a small part of something bigger. Like,
yeah,
that's what I like about it. You're part of something bigger in the FPS experience of the game. Mm-hmm. You're a guy on a ship, right? You're a marine as part of a crew that's going to go board a capital ship and take it over eventually, right? The FPS experience is like this smaller part of a bigger, more awesome thing. It's not the only part of the game, you know? So I guess to some degree I can give it more leeway in that sense, because Star Citizen is not just an FPS shooter. It's, you know, the FPS element of the game is part of a much bigger picture. That's kind of how I've always approached the FPS experience. Like, yeah, I know it's trash. I know it's garbage. I know I can go and play any other FPS game right now and have a better experience. But I enjoy the FPS experience of Star Citizen because I know I'm part of something bigger. Like, there's something much bigger going on here. And if we stick with it and figure these things out, you know, as a team, we can do something more. We can be something more. And it's not all about how quickly I can 360 no-scope a guy, right?
Space Tomato Gaming does not condone the statements of our guests, okay? So it is kind of all about 360 no-scopes. Don't get it wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, that's kind of where I stand with it ultimately. Like, I'm willing to give leeway to the trashiness of it all. Because
That's why a lot of us have stuck around for this game. Like, people will jump into the game and be like, oh, man, this is awful. I can't, like, this doesn't work and that doesn't work. And you come to a lot of people and you're like, why are you playing the game? And it's because I am living in space. I can, one of the things that our racer said after the Daymar Rally was like, I can finish this race in the Daymar Rally and then I can hop in my spaceship and fly across the system and just go mine. And it's like, that's part of it. It's not, you're not playing separate games that give you all this stuff. You're playing one game that does it all. And it might not do everything the best, but it's enjoyable.
That's it, yeah. And going back to what I talked about, like when we do these org events, where, you know, these things encompass everything. Like, we are a group, we form up a squad, we get on a drop ship that's flown by one of my org mates. They drop us into this war zone where there's dogfights and a fleet battle going on overhead. We land on this 890 jump. We get out. It's janky as hell. Some of us are like, you know, supermanning in the air because we've been thrown off the ramp. And, you know, some of us are flying off the side because it's low grav and it's really hard to control your player character because it's janky. And, you know, some of us are like crashing on the side of the ship, the CTDing and stuff. But you get out and you step into this. You get out and step into this war zone, you look above you and you're like, man, this is Star Citizen. This is so cool. Like, this FPS experience is going to be janky and terrible as hell, but I'm part of something that's super awesome and epic. And eventually this is going to get better. Please, you know, this has got to get better, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we do those kind of things. It's just to kind of bring it all to life.
I think this mirrors, interestingly enough, this mirrors our conversation last week about master modes. One of the things that we were talking about was like, and I think one of the crucial points of master modes is that this isn't something that's coming in to make a space combat game, not at least not a, you know, a dogfighting space combat game. It's meant to come in and create a game where space combat is part of it, and it fits a need that also can be affected by other things like engineering or capital ships or just like other parts of the game. Like you're saying, you like FPS combat, but you like it because you get to go and board a ship in zero G and all that stuff. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Yeah, it's a very key point of Star Citizen. I think that's a good one. Speaking of how everything is getting better, let's talk about those better things. Let's talk about the new features coming to the FPS experience. A lot of them in 323, but not all of them. Let's start out with probably one of the more interesting but kind of low-key additions. Combat helmets are now going to have dynamic crosshairs. Some of them will. This being like the first instance of armor getting truly specialized. We have armor that can fit certain temperatures, armor that can fit certain inventory sizes, but this is like the first time armor will give you an actual gameplay advantage in combat. How do you feel about this addition?
Yeah, it's a good one. It's like initially, and I talked about this a little bit with my stream. Yeah, initially, I don't know, I was kind of like, well, you can turn it off, right? If you don't like it, like some people like, I don't like it. It's annoying. It looks silly. You know, it gets in the way. Well, not necessarily gets in the way, but you just, I don't like it. Some people, I don't like it. I don't think I need it. And then, you know, you say, well, you know, you can turn it off. If you don't want it, just turn it off. Then their rebuttal is, well, then I'm at a disadvantage. Like, am I now at a disadvantage? Like, am I going to have to turn it on if I want to be, you know, as competitive as possible? Like, do I need this helmet now to get the dynamic crosshair to give me a better idea of where I'm going to be hip firing, essentially? And it was a good point. It's like, yeah, maybe it is actually creating like this disparity where you kind of need it if you're going to be competitive. Like, my point of view initially is that I wouldn't really use it anyway. I very rarely, if ever, hip fire in Star Citizen anyway. I always ADS. Even when it's detrimental to me, I will ADS. Like, if I'm too close to my target, I will automatically ADS. A lot of the time, it's actually a problem I have where I need to, like, train myself to hip fire more often. But also, the ranges at where hip fire is effective, I don't feel like the dynamic crosshair is going to make any difference. Because you have to be close. You have to be pretty close for hipfire to actually be effective anyway.
Yeah, like 10 meters.
Yeah, and you're not going to miss. Like, it's very hard for you to miss at effective hipfire range, really. As long as they're like, yeah, within 10 meters or whatever. As long as your gun is like pointed in their general area, you're gonna hit. It's not going to be effective. Hip firing is never unless they're really close. Hip firing is usually right. It's not the most effective way to kill somebody. Like, ADSing is usually the most effective way. That's going to give you better control of the recoil. Better, you're going to be able to hit the, you know, the area that you're aiming at better. It's just hip firing is useful when people are really close. And in my opinion, like, the ranges of where you're going to be hip firing, it's just the dynamic crosshair isn't really going to help you a huge amount because you're so close anyway. It's basically how I see it. Like, it's not a big issue ultimately, I would say, but
yeah, if anything, so I didn't think too much about that, but that makes a ton of sense. This doesn't matter when you're doing aim down your sights. Like, the dynamic crosshair is not going to matter. It's only for hip firing, and mainly that'll be short-range SMGs, pistols, shotguns. In that instance, it can give you a bit of an advantage. But you know what I really like about this? That, like, this makes the most sense, is we're not playing a skill-based RPG. In the sense of, like, you're not getting skill points and putting them in your character and getting better hip-firing skills, right? You're going out, you're finding a helmet that fits the thing that you need, and you're saying,
yeah,
I'm... Don't. Do not. You're going out to a store and you're saying, I am a combat person. I want to have the best aim, so I'm going to buy the helmet, right? When you get a tractor beam, we got two different types of tractor beams. We got the multi-tool and the full tractor beam. Whenever batteries become a thing, that multi-tool is going to fall short of the full tractor beam. You're not going to have cargo people running around saying, I don't want a full tractor beam. I want the multi-tool. Am I now at a disadvantage? It's like, no, you got to pick the equipment that fits your gameplay. And I love so much more that they're including that in equipment you can buy, earn, or find, as opposed to a skill point that you have to level up by doing something.
For sure. Yeah, I agree. I don't have a huge amount to add to that. It's the right tool for the right job, right? Which is what a lot of Star Citizen should be geared towards. It's picking up the right tool for the right job. But I do ultimately think the dynamic crosshair isn't really that much of a big deal. Like, I don't think it changes much. It feels a it's handy for when you're pushed up against the crate or you're trying to peek around a corner and, you know, you want to know where you're aiming roughly. You want to know where your, you know, where your barrel is pointing. It's a good quality of life aspect, I guess, in that respect. But whether it's going to be like the difference between life or death, killing your target efficiently or not, I don't think it is. I think, like I said, I think the ranges where you hip fire, the dynamic crosshair is not going to make that much of a difference. You're still going to be ADSing most of the time at most ranges. So yeah, I think it's a small thing, but yeah, it really, for me, I think it really comes down to more of a quality of life issue, quality of life improvement. Because I know, you know, there was some controversy around it, and I don't know. I don't think I don't think it needs that much controversy. I mean, I just,
everything,
the way it looks, I don't everything like the way it
needs
looks.
Controversy. T-Dogs, come on,
yeah, everything.
Everything yeah. needs at least one post talking about how can it be done better. Tell us. We don't know. We haven't even gotten to play it yet, but tell me.
It's fair. I mean, it's one of the most engaging, fun gameplay loops for Star Citizen. It's you know,
that's
being
also
the armchair dev.
I thought you were going in a different direction.
I thought you were going to say
combat. I was going to say, yeah, that's really the only thing we've been able to do. But yeah, no, also.
Sorry.
Creating the game ourselves is one of the most fun parts of this all. No, please don't quote me on somebody's going to clip that. Let's talk about another change coming to FPS, one that I think is probably more talked about, and that is like all the reloading changes that are coming up. So we could probably include the ammo management kind of stacking or ammo repacking, I think they called it, but also the backpack reloading and how that is changing, I guess, the flow of combat. What do you think of that?
I like it. I mean, anything that takes away from me having to press I, find a crate to hide behind, press I, examine my inventory, drag something over, put it back in, you know, so I can get back into shooting people is good. I think it's generally a good thing. I'm not sure I like the idea of being able to put 1,000 rounds in my backpack and have them all continuously feed through to your weapon without some kind of skill check, I suppose, in between, right?
Watch yourself.
I'm not saying like a quick action event or whatever, anything like that. That's not what I'm going with, but the way I see it, and another way to kind of diversify equipment and you know, make people sort of geared towards make people choose the right gear for the right job. What do you think of the idea of having backpacks that have those quick feed ammo slots in the backpacks?
Yeah.
So let's say a heavy backpack has 4 ammo slots, right? So you have your four mags on your body. And then you have 4 mags inside your backpack that can be slotted into the heavy backpack's ammo feed slots at any one time. So you get the 4 mags on your body, reload quick. I'm out of those, but I'm in a combat situation. I'll start getting the ammo that's feeding through the backpack. I got 4 mags in my backpack. After those are done, no more free feeds. You've got to actually pack some more mags into those slots. So that could be like a heavy backpack, right? The heavy backpack would have 4 ammo slots in it that would feed into your weapon mid-combat. Slower, obviously, because there's a penalty for that, for letting ammo feed through your backpack. Mm-hmm. Then you have like a medium backpack, and maybe that's only got 2 ammo slots, but it weighs less, so you can move quicker, you know, maybe some other attributes associated with that. And then you have like a light backpack, which is maybe only got 1 ammo slot that feeds into your gun when you run out, but you move much quicker, it weighs much less, so on and so forth. I would like them to maybe explore that idea, because then it again comes down to players making choices, where if I want to be the heavy guy in heavy armor with a heavy backpack and an LMG that I don't want to have to stop and reload, and I just want like more mags fed to it, and I'm the guy that's, you know, laying down suppressing fire, I have this heavy backpack. It's got like 4 mags ready to go. But if I'm the quicker guy who's moving in and out, it's got more speed, can be a little bit more agile, a little bit more evasive. but they've only got like two mag slots in their medium backpack that, you know, they don't have as much, they don't have as much utility in that sense where they can just have these mags constantly fed to them. But, you know, there's other upsides and downsides to it, and so on and so forth. Like, I just don't know if I like the idea of you being able to just stuff a backpack filled with 1,000 rounds and never ultimately having to go back and do any inventory management to get those rounds fed to your gun.
I get that. Yeah. Having, like, maybe if the if you put 1,000 rounds in and, like, the first four magazines automatically went into that combat quick thing that you're talking about, but then once those run out, you have to go back into your inventory to change it up, like, basically, add four more in there. Yeah, I could see something like that, because that is a good point of our backpacks are big, and it's really like you could fill a whole backpack with ammo, and that's a lot of ammo.
Yeah, and I just feel like, I don't know, it just doesn't sit well. It feels weird that you could just endlessly have these magazines feeding from your backpack. But I mean, obviously, it's always going to be better to just reload from your body, just to go and apply them and put the mags on your armor so that there's, you know, quicker reloading. But still, I just like having these choices, these layers upon layers, these almost RPG elements where it's like, well, you know, I'm probably going to be, you know, the guy that with the heavy weapons and the heavy armor, I'm not going to have a huge amount of opportunity to get out and, you know, reassess my inventory. So I'm going to go with a heavy backpack and it's going to feed me magazines when I need them most.
Yeah.
Versus the guy that's going to be lighter armored, moving in and out, evading, getting behind cover. He's going to have way more opportunity to repack things and get mags on his body, et cetera, right? It just choices that kind of are geared towards your playstyle and where your role fits within like a squad element of players.
Yeah.
Is kind of like my thinking.
Yeah, I like the idea of the backpack reload. I like that it's a little bit of a time penalty on you. I think it's a cool idea. And like you said, it keeps you in the combat a little bit more. You had mentioned also you said quick time event. So I have to talk about for our next one. Gun jams and wear and tear. Not something I think is coming with 323, but something we know is coming with the experience. The idea of you have to keep your guns clean. This is something we're seeing with armor and bases and ships also are going to be like, they'll take damage, they'll take wear. You got to keep them up to date or they'll mess up. What do you think of that? Is that just annoying?
No, I think it's good. I think I like the idea of it. I like the idea of just generally, I like the idea of durability in MMOs. I don't like the idea that you can just acquire everything you need and none of it ever goes away. None of it sort of breaks or requires maintenance. I like money sinks. I like you know, the fact that, yeah, you'll have to go and buy new guns, new equipment, because over time it's going to break, right? Like, you need that. You need that dynamic in order to keep the economy moving, right? Yeah. It's an element of the economy. Ultimately, it's, you know, having to pay for repairs or buy new guns, new ammunition, new parts, new equipment. It's all a part of keeping the economy moving. So anything that kind of helps that, I think is good. Like, obviously it needs to be managed. It can't be too much. Like, you can't be going out on two bunker missions and after the second one, you need to, like, fix your gun because you've used it too much, you know?
It needs
to
be over a long period.
Yeah, it needs to be over a long period of time. But ultimately, I'm in favor of it. Gun jams, I like the idea of that, yeah. If you don't maintain the equipment, a gun jam is possible. So it doesn't, I don't want it to just happen randomly. Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, it should be because you didn't look after your gun, right? I'm in there with a squad and some guy screws up and his gun's jammed. I can be like, you didn't look after your gun. So that's what you get. You deserve it. You let us down. You know, they should have been, you know, on top of it.
Part of the job. How do you feel about the fact that it's a whole bunch of quick action to unjam it?
How else can you do it? Like, pause the game and go into like this mini game event where you've got to, like, you know,
you pull out the tools.
Yeah. How else do you do it in a combat situation?
I don't know. I mean, I guess it has to be some kind of a quick action, but gosh, the idea of like just slamming my key, the same key over and over again makes me pain because my last keyboard, I lost the G key. I don't know why. I'm guessing it was like, I have no idea why that key, but like when
that's
you lose
the grenade
one key
tomato. You use a lot of grenades. You throw a lot of grenades in FPS.
I don't make it that far. I get shot too early. The gun wear and tear. Man, I love the idea of wear and tear. That's like engineering. I can't wait to see how that factors into like the life of ships.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. So we talked gun jams, reloading, dynamic crosshair. This is a fun one. How about sliding? Mm-hmm. Also not in 323, I think, but contentious.
Yeah, see, I'm not too familiar with how CIG wants to implement it. All I know is that they've said they want sliding to be more of a form of getting into cover, getting out of tricky situations, I suppose. So in that like respect, I'm fine with it. But if I can slide towards a dude while John Wicking and stuff, like with an FS9, I'm not.
You got two FS9s, you know? Like, in your hands.
Yeah, like, yeah. Don't know. I'm not sure. Like, I think sliding should definitely be something reserved for people who are wielding light armor, or medium at a push. Like, it should be a skill or an ability that's kind of reserved for people who elect to play a more evasive, more nimble, agility-based kind of FPS playstyle.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like a little reward, right? You can play more evasively. It caters to that playstyle. I don't think you should be sliding around if you're wearing heavy armor, you know, if that's how they're going to do it. But
it speaks towards their stamina system. It seems like that's probably going to have a pretty big overhaul, because right now you can just do everything without really getting all that tired. I'm jumping constantly because there's no consequence for doing that. Like my stream is like, stop, please.
That's a good point. I didn't think about them tying it into the stamina, but that, yeah, of course, that makes total sense. And again, stamina is, you know, your the amount of stamina you have is also dictated by how much stuff you're wearing. So that plays into that. Like, if you're wearing heavy armor, you're probably going to burn all your stamina trying to slide.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to look bad, and you're probably not going to be able to slide very far. So it wouldn't be worth doing. But yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, they got to.
So, I don't know. I don't have a big opinion about sliding other than that. It's okay. Who knows? We'll see.
Next one up is scopes. We've got some changes coming up with the way that scopes are rendered. People are also saying, now that they're getting rid of that sort of black block out around the scope, you can see that it's zooming in the whole screen instead of just the scope. This is something I've always had problems with in games, but I feel like it's probably hard not to do that. How do you feel about these scope changes that are coming up?
Good. I mean, just visually, it looks much better. Like, just having that ridiculous blacked out JPEG surrounding your scope previously when you were like zoomed in was just, you know, it didn't feel immersive. It didn't feel right, but you know, you weren't really looking at it. You were just looking at the scope, but I mean, good. It's generally very good. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about the glint thing now.
Yeah, we can. Okay, so I didn't watch Star Citizen live yet on FPS. That came out 2 days before this show. But apparently there was some comments about sniping in Star Citizen, and they're adding glint to the scope. What's that all about?
It's just, so from what I understand and what they showed in IEC very briefly, I think they clarified a few things on Spectrum after the IEC, after the fallout of people, you know, getting a little bit upset about the scope glint, I guess you could say.
No way. Pitchfork, you say.
Yeah. I think they clarified that it's basically a very small range, like 11 degrees or something, they said, where you'll be able to catch the glint. If you're, you know, if obviously if you're looking at the scope at the right angle, you're going to see the glint. So it's not like, I don't know if you played Battlefield 1. I think it was Battlefield 1 where where the scope glint was just nuts. It was like a lighthouse whenever somebody was sniping at you. It was pretty crazy. I don't think we're going that route with Star Citizen, because that would be kind of ridiculous. But yeah, generally, I think the scope glint is quite small. It's minimal. I kind of need to see it in game and see how it looks and feels in game. But generally, it doesn't look too egregious. there's sniping is another one of those things in Star Citizen where you have very limited time to actually snipe or experience sniping in Star Citizen. You know, yeah. It's Jump Town is basically it for the most part. Like
yes,
you sit
just about.
somewhere at a distance at Jump Town and shoot people as they try and go in and move boxes. And that's it for the most part from where you can sort of experience sniping gameplay. And generally, it's really hard to deal with. Like, it's hard to deal with snipers, you know, in video games. Like, you're an FPS, you've played FPS games, like, snipers are hard to deal with.
Yeah, and they're rough.
When you got a game like Star Citizen, where you can be 2 kilometers in any direction, you know, you can shoot people that are like a kilometer away or whatever. I guess we do need some things that are going to make it easier to kind of counter snipers.
Yeah, you need to be able to see them. I mean, like you said, you can be 2 kilometers away in any direction when somebody gets out of their spaceship. And especially now when we don't have scanning and radar, you really can't tell where you're getting shot from. You get hit and you're like, I'm shot, but I don't, I have no idea where from. I don't even think the damage indicators will really tell you that well, at least right now.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's and you just hear this, and you're like, oh, I think I've been hit. And then you hear another, and you're dead. And, you know, now you've got 30 minutes of getting out your hab, going back to your inventory, getting all your gear back on, flying back to where you were. You know, it's like, it's such a big effort to come back from that. Obviously, we're going to get like, you know, injuries and you'll be downed and then you can get revived again. But if you get killed outright by a sniper, it's obviously not a great experience, and it's hard to kind of like counter that. I think FPS pinging is something that will come in and kind of help deal with that. Aside from, you know, this glint thing, I feel like we probably should have trialed how FPS feels with the FPS scanning and pinging before we went the glint route. At least, you know, I mean, I don't know how you feel about that, but
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the range of the FPS scanning should be, but I do feel like that is a pretty key feature that would make a difference. And I guess we'll see how they overlap, but it does feel like the FPS pinging and scan is like much lower range than something like seeing a scope from like a kilometer out or something.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. Good point. I guess you couldn't. Yeah, that maybe they could add a freaking aliens style motion tracker or FPS scanner that, like, I don't know, you hold in your hand and it reaches out further for like snipers or something. But I mean, ultimately,
I agree with you though. Like, it does feel like that is the way out. Like, you should be able to specialty scan at least maybe a distance, right? Do something where you're actively counteracting that sniper instead of them just giving you that info for free.
Exactly. That's it. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, they maybe should have waited for the scanning. Like you said, range might be an issue, but some sort of interplay between the sniper and the people being sniped and FPS scanning, that seems to be the futuristic way of approaching snipers versus this 1900s scope glint that's apparently happening 900 years in the future, you know? You think they'd have a way to deal with that.
Couldn't figure out non-glinting glass. It's just too much.
I mean, I hate using the realism argument with Star Citizen because so much of it isn't realistic. But they have other ways of approaching this. I mean, ultimately, sniping, it needs to be difficult because you get it's such a force multiplier. You know, you can have one guy sitting off a click away, kill 3 or 4 guys before they can even retaliate or react to it effectively. Yeah. And you might not even still know where he is. That is the gist of sniper gameplay. It's why people love it. They feel like a god, right? But it definitely needs some counterplay. The glint might be a good start, but yeah, there's other things you can explore.
Let's continue with that radar and scanning, though. I don't think that's coming in 323 either. Wow, I really hope it is, but I don't think it's on the roadmap tracker. But they have shown it finally. You're able to ping things and sort of recognize things around you, what's interactable, what kind of information do they propose to you. All pretty big deal. How are you feeling about this, the scanning and radar that they're bringing in? They've shown off a couple times.
I like it. I think it's a good idea. It's again, it comes down to choices, in my opinion. You know, if you are, you know, are you going to wear heavy armor and give off more of a SIG, more movement, more clunkiness, right? Or are you going to be more light, stealthily built, more chance of I don't know, fading off the scanning ping, you know, different items that can play into it. You can have like, I don't know, a suit or piece of armor that has the ability to block you from being seen by FPS scanning, you know. That's the kind of thing, again, where to me, that's what I want Star Citizen to be all about. It's choices in your loadout that basically work towards your play style, you know. Mm-hmm. Giving players more choices of how they approach situations and how they are seen, reacted to in certain situations. That's the way I want to go with it. So yeah, I think just generally it's a good idea. I'm not against it. I know some people are really against it. They think it's like a wall hack or whatever. But as long as you give some kind of counterplay to it, it can add something to the game. I think it adds something.
So you think by default it's cool if it shows the full motion of the people who were scanned as opposed to just like a ghosted image or something, and then you would want to see some way to counteract that?
I think just ways, as long as there are ways to counter it, yeah, and it comes with some kind of downside for using it, like
mm-hmm. like you light it up on also, their radar.
Yeah, it should also, you know, make your SIG higher so that you're more easily detectable as well. It should come with downsides. There should be a risk to using it, right? But let's say you're in a group and you have one guy that's kind of geared towards that. They're your dude that's like giving you information on the people that are around you, and the other guys are geared towards just straight up combat, but you got this one guy who's more geared towards the scanning method, right? And he's like your scanner. He's giving you like a sort of rough heads up about what's ahead. Everyone else is geared differently. You just have this sort of interplay between playstyles and gear types that just, in my opinion, make the game overall more interesting.
Mm-hmm. We don't know how data will be stored, because data is supposed to take up some kind of space or inventory of some sort. So maybe there will be backpacks that have a server in them that can save all that stuff and share that information out at a later date.
They
could do a lot with like collecting information through the scanning and radar system, because that's big true. Part of exploration too.
Yeah, I mean, god, don't get me, like, exploration, where the hell are we going with that in Star Citizen?
Oh boy.
But yes,
that's got a topic lot to for say another, about that. Yeah, that's a
topic for another podcast. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that maybe they'll try. I can see where people are coming from. You know, it's maybe one of those things that they'll try, but it's obviously one of those Squadron 42 features that they're putting into a multiplayer game, and it could be problems. It could be issues as well.
It could be, yeah. Especially when it comes to the FPS stuff specifically. I think the feature itself is really useful for more than just the combat, but yeah, I can see when it comes to combat that being a bit of an issue.
Yeah.
But it also is kind of geared, it's sort of coming with something that is coming in 323, the new HUD, which gives us one of the most, oh God, we're blessed, but we're getting a compass. Folks, yes. I don't know why it took so long in 2950s, but we finally are getting compasses in our helmets, and that actually is a big part of getting around and probably pretty useful. How do you feel about the new HUD and all the little, like, they've been showing it off a lot in ISC? Do you think it's a better improvement? Do you think it's like half a step up?
Definitely an improvement. I mean, a compass is something we've been asking for years. Again, when it comes to playing as a group and you need to tell everybody where something is, it's absolutely ridiculous that we've had to wait this long for a compass. It's impossible. Like, we would have
to... Look left.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have to like pick a landmark and we'd be like, right, that's our 12 o'clock, okay? You know, that's our north or whatever. And then, you know, you'd play for like 2 or 3 minutes and everyone would forget what that landmark was and we'd no longer have a point of reference and everyone, and then you'd just go back to chaos again. You'd be like,
yeah,
left up front of me at the front of the group at about 45 degrees, you know? It's just ridiculous. So, no, I'm all for it. It looks clean. It's cleaner. I don't really have any complaints about it yet. It's good. I think a compass is just a godsend. People in my org are absolutely, you know, been waiting for that for so long. They're so thrilled about it.
The rest of the HUD is introducing things like the ammo count and everything, the backpack reloading, all that stuff looks so much cleaner. There's also new like mission objectives things, so it's much better displayed for you on your screen. You can see what your objective is. I think you can also see like your reputation level and where you are. And then they've also got the mini maps showing up. Is that all up to standard? Would you like to see more coming to the HUD? Do you feel like they're actually hitting a, I hate to say it, but like a Star Citizen 1.0 mark with what they're showing? Or does there need to be more in your opinion?
Yeah, it's a good, I know what you mean. It's like, can there be more? Obviously, it's like design, when you design something, right? Or when you edit a video, the skilled editor or designer, it's all about taking things away rather than adding things. So the more cleaner it is, the more concise it is, the better. I don't know if I want too much more. What would be cool if, and this is a very MMOE kind of thing, just off the top of my head, is the ability to track multiple objectives and see multiple objectives on my HUD would be nice, as opposed to just one at the top. You know, I'd like to be able to see, you know, call to arms active. I've got this mission to go pick something up here. And I've also got this mission to kill 12 guys here at, you know, this bunker on yellow. Just very, maybe very small in the top right or something, somewhere on the screen, a little bit like you do with quest trackers in MMOs, you know, that would be nice. That would be a nice addition. But other than that, no, I mean, you have your, there's going to be like a thing showing your signature, like your noise levels and things, I guess, in FPS. You got your compass now. Yeah, you got like the FPS map in the top left. You got your ammo and backpack status in the bottom right. And like you said, reputation bar, which looks like, I think we're going off the assumption from what we've seen from distribution centers.
That's an interesting one, because why would you need your reputation on the main screen, right? Are they changing it so it's updating that much? Like, why do we need that info so front and center?
I don't think it is. I think it's maybe like, I don't know. Maybe it's like a hostility level at the facility or something.
Well, we've seen it. They showed it in the more recent place too, the more recent ISCs. It seems like they pop up on almost every FPS screen now, like it's a permanent fixture.
Is it? I didn't notice
like
that.
You can see Crusader reputations in some of the newer videos. Hurston Dynamics was in the distribution center one. Yeah, so it seems like wherever, whatever jurisdiction you're in, they will have the reputation there, which I get it. You want to know, you want to always have an up-to-date idea of how you correspond to the faction. I guess for newcomers who don't know to go into their Mobi class, that'd be a thing, but it feels like it's taken up screen real estate for something that's not going to change too often from what we see now.
Maybe because it's a little bit like it's the closest thing we have to an XP bar in Star Citizen. And, you know, it's quite nice to see your XP bar going up or down when, well, not down, but it's nice to watch it go up and watch the progress move. You know, maybe that's their thinking. It's because, also, like, if you're in Hurston jurisdiction, you're on Hurston Dynamics, but you go into the distribution center that's owned by a different faction, like,
it probably change.
The rep's going to change, like, in between, the different areas that you're in. So, it shows you the rep that's most relevant to what you're doing at that time. So,
see, I would think that'd just be a notification. Like, you enter the space and it tells you, you have entered this space. This, your reputation is this. Because is it, I mean, like you said, it could be a progress bar kind of thing. Just the way that reputation changes right now in game, I feel like I can run 3 missions and still barely notice the change. So I'm like, if I'm, why would I want to know that minute by minute?
That's true. Know. Yeah. That's it. And it's the same with XP bars in MMOs as well, though. When you start to get to the higher levels, it barely moves, you know. So I don't know, maybe that's the kind of where they're coming from with that. It's essentially like a relevant XP bar to the missions you're doing. Like, they want you to spend a long time in distribution centers. You're going to be in them for quite some time, I imagine. So maybe they want you to just to feel more kind of like there's some more tangible effects of you being there that you can see on your HUD. I don't know. It's interesting.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting one. I think you said either in Star Citizen Live or at some other time they were talking about FPS accessories. Not a 323 kind of thing, but like we've seen them talk about these briefly over the course of years. What were you saying about that?
The FPS accessories, like
shields,
things like like ballistic shields.
Yeah.
They just sort of cover them briefly in SCL, I think. Like what would I want to see from them? Like what kind of,
that's like right up the alley of kind of what you were saying you wanted to see with FPS gameplay, is people having different types of accessories. What's a good example that you would say like would fit into Star Citizen's FPS gameplay?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously weapons are a big defining factor of the sort of class and playstyle you play in FPS games, and armor. I think, you know, those are the main things. But yeah, in terms of accessories, ballistic shields is obviously one of them. Medical devices, obviously. It really just comes down to like grenades and smaller items, I guess, that kind of define your character, define your playstyle, and how much kind of storage space you have for those kind of things, and how that affects your movement and defensive capabilities. It's not like, I'm not like talking like hard classes. I'm just talking about like how you build your loadout to most benefit your playstyle, I guess, right?
Do you think they'll do more barrel attachments? So we don't really see.
Yeah, that's a good question. How deep do you go? Because
we need a noob tube. Gotta have a noob tube.
We do have the noob tube, really. We have the grenade launcher, but
that's true.
They rightfully nerfed that a little bit recently, which I think is a good thing. I think, you know, I see the grenade launcher as like a crowd control weapon. You know, it's a great way to kind of like disperse a crowd, create a little bit of knockback effect, knock people off their aim in groups.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be the thing that you turn up on a capital ship and just run around tubing everybody to death. You know what I mean? I quite like the way that's going. You know, it's more of a crowd control thing, pushing people out of cover that they've got versus straight up killing them if you land a grenade within a general vicinity of their area. But yeah, I don't know, accessories. Yeah, it really comes down to just a mixture of accessories and how you kind of load out and gear up and kind of build to your character towards a certain playstyle that you need to play at the time. Because generally, like everybody at the moment has a medical device, a primary rifle, usually a secondary rifle that they can switch to when they need to reload or something, a utility tool, and some sort of, you know, combination of either medium and heavy with a backpack. Everybody kind of is the same, because that's like your general going out and doing adventures in Star Citizen kind of loadout, right? It covers all bases. It's really only when you get into like groups where you need to have these specialized roles and specialized gear that's going to, you know, lend to fulfilling a certain role as part of a group.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's also ballistic
shields.
The like more utility based tools we've been getting, like the repair tool, I guess it's a salvage and repair tool, like that kind of thing. I'm wondering how much people are going to use. Right now, they're not very useful, right? Like you can do the same thing with ships and you get a whole bunch more material from it. But they seem to want to also have a lot of profession based tools that you can have as like a replacement for a rifle or something that takes a lot of space.
That's true. Yeah. It seems to be going that way, doesn't it? Yeah, but I mean, there's only so much you can do with that. There's only so much you can do with that. It's like a tractor beam. You're the tractor beam guy. You still want to have a weapon or something to switch to, but
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. They want people to have these sort of bigger options, these more sort of primary options to fulfill a primary role.
Yeah. Let's talk about this is another one that I didn't get to see from Star Citizen Live, but apparently was kind of a big question people had following the show: night vision. that never we can never, I don't think we go a single year without this coming up, but we're still, it's 2024. It's 2954 and we don't have night vision. What's going on, Detox?
Can you tell me what the holdup is? I'm not a game dev. You know, I never claim to be a game dev. I don't understand what is taking CIG so long. You know, the problem with CIG is they love to reinvent the wheel. And sometimes they reinvent the wheel and it becomes a square, you know. I just wonder what they're doing with night vision, because at the moment, all they're doing is forcing me closer and closer to using Reshade. I don't know if there's some kind of conspiracy and they have some kind of deal with Reshade or something, but I don't want to use Reshade, you know, but I am locked out of 50% of the game, planetary moon-based gameplay at any given time, because I can't see a damn thing at night. I literally can't see a thing. Like, it's horrible. It's when I'm playing, when I'm streaming, I literally have to be like, sorry guys, I can't play here because I can't see anything. I've got to go to the daytime side of this planet or moon to actually allow you to see whatever the hell I'm doing, whatever the hell I'm looking at. Like, nighttime combat sucks because you can't see anything. Flying planet side at night sucks because the amount of times I've been playing this game for years, I've lost count of the amount of times I've crashed into the ground because the altimeter doesn't read properly. And
yeah,
you know,
oh my god. Oh, I hate that.
It's so bad. And you can't see the ground. I don't want to have to be spamming the ping over and over again. That's not fun. That isn't intuitive. It doesn't make sense. I should have a damn computer that's doing that for me automatically and giving me topography of the planet for a start. It's just, they got to give us night vision, man. It's just heresy that we don't have it yet.
I would say up until now, up until the Gen 12 renderer was done, it's been kind of a joke, right? Like, we know that you guys are doing a lot of graphic stuff on the back end. You got to catch up with your whatever tech debt is going on with the renderer, and that's going to take some time. But I think the legitimate timer for night vision has started, and it's more of a serious concern now, because not only are we getting more space that's dark, the game is becoming more serious. They're trying to push more for this idea that it's moving towards a beta, and like, we still can't see at night.
It's miserable. It's miserable. Like, it really is miserable. It's a miserable experience. It's really not fun for anybody playing. I cannot see a good reason for playing in the dark in SC, because it is just so dark. Like, I know, like, the amount of times I've said on stream, like, this is so dark, and everyone's like, duh, it's nighttime. It's like, it's a video game. I still want to see some of it, you know? Nothing.
I like that nighttime in this game is really dark, because too often a game just looks like the same exact as daytime, just like with a shade of dark blue over it.
Yeah.
But yeah. We should be able to find some way to see, because it's not a gameplay decision, right? They have to come up with the tech that makes night vision possible, and then they have to pass that tech to the people who actually make the feature for night vision, because I'm guessing whatever it is, it'll be like the dynamic crosshair. It'll be like, you know, the new, what did they call it? Some kind of immersive audio, I think, where like your audio can go out if your computer gets shot and you start hearing different sound. I think night vision should be handled kind of similarly. It should be something that is controlled by your helmet or your ship, and something you can turn on, but also can be disabled if you get equipment damage or something.
So you think it should be like an additional device, essentially, that you can...
Yeah, or like the dynamic crosshair. It's just almost in every helmet.
Part of a certain helmet range. Yeah, again, I'm cool with that, because it goes along with my mantra towards SC, where it comes down to choices and giving you more choices and how you want to build your role and build out your loadout. Like, yeah, it could be one of those... I think we talked about this before, like, with some of my viewers. It's like, you know, that helmet that doesn't cover your mouth. It's like, it looks like a bug or something, right?
Yeah,
like,
the little glasses on it.
Yeah, it's something like that, right? So you're the night vision guy. Like, you're the guy, wearing the night vision. Or you make it an additional device that attaches to helmets, but maybe it can only be attached to medium armor helmets or something like that, right? Like, just kind of like, you know, giving you more real reasons to more choices to make, and consequences, advantages and disadvantages to running certain equipment. Mm-hmm. I'd be fine with that, at least initially. Yeah. But then, you know, we also will need some kind of night vision on all ships, because you shouldn't have to wear a suit.
Oh, it should be standard on ships. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
That's the most egregious part of night vision, nighttime. It's when you're in a ship, because you've got all the glare from your cockpit and everything.
And you're flying like 500 meters per second. You can't use our lights to see the ground. Like, by the time my light hits the ground, the ship has basically hit the ground. It's just, yeah.
Yep.
That's a pain for a spaceship flying game. I hope that gets figured out real soon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've kind of touched on most of the features. We definitely skipped over a couple, interaction system, charger repair. These are things that we'll talk about in future iterations. I think the interaction system is actually, do you have anything to say about that?
Not really. It's one of those things I want to get in my hands and experience first. It's quality of life features, right? There's not a lot. I would say there's not a lot to talk about them yet until we actually use them to really see how the quality of life, improves our quality of life when we're playing the thing. But yeah, I don't have a huge opinions on that. It looks cleaner again, but it's crazy how much CIG kind of jumps from different approaches to different things over the years. Like, we've had refactors of this sort of thing multiple times already.
You think
something's going to be good, it gets put in, you experience it for like a year, and you're like, oh, I hate this, give me something else. And now they've got like a new thing coming, so we'll see.
you don't think they're past that phase?
No, CIG has never passed that phase of reiterating, man. I mean, they love reiterating, and
I hope
it could well be iterated again.
I hope that we got Squadron 42 in the lineup. Like, they better have their systems in check, you know?
You'd think, but I guess that would mean we're also not getting, we don't need to use night vision in Squadron 42, right? Because we don't have it yet.
Like, I assume night vision's coming before Squadron 42 does. Like, I'm going to give them a solid year, you know? I think that's, they're getting there. Yeah. And like, again, it comes with the renderer. That's what I can't wait to see an update from the rendering team, from the engine team this year, because I'm sure they'll have something to say about it.
Good point.
Something else that this is less talked about, but something that's going to, I think, become more and more important as we get into more contentious FPS encounters and things like that, is the third-person camera in Star Citizen is a bit of an anomaly, because they focus very much on making sure everything feels immersive and you're experiencing things from your eyeballs and like everything makes sense. But then you can also be in a, like, you can be fighting somebody and use a camera to just slide your perspective all the way down the hallway to look behind their corner. So, like,
I know.
Do you think it should go? What do you think should happen with this to make it more fair?
It's tough, because I love using the third, and I'm sure you do for, getting cinematic shots and taking, everybody loves it for great screenshots.
Yes.
And, it's part of the director tool, and CIG gets so much free marketing out of that. Mm-hmm. So many great talented people who create awesome cinematics, great photography, like Hasegawa, they would be killing all of that if they got rid of third person camera altogether. It's not a problem anywhere until you're in FPS combat. Really, right? Like, I don't see anywhere else where it becomes a problem. So it needs to be addressed in a combat situation, like isolated in a combat situation. And it's really tricky.
Go ahead.
The common thing everyone goes with, right, is making it like a physicalized drone camera.
Yeah.
That was always like the talk about it in the past, like make it a physical camera that flies out and you have to deploy it. And, maybe you can shoot it as the other person shoot it down. And then there's like a timer before they can use it again. Right. Mm-hmm. That's been one of the common approaches to it, but go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You have to sit there and you're preoccupied with controlling this device to use as a camera. I mean, it basically makes you a cinematographer or director or something. It makes sense, but then it's like, okay, well, are these like drones that people have to buy? Do they get them by default because you just should have a third person camera? do people press a third person camera button and suddenly they're in this view and there's a drone floating around them? Like there's a lot of details that go into that, but I do think, I don't see how else they could do it.
I don't either. It's really, they've kind of backed themselves into a corner here with it. It's, you've got on one hand, you've got this sort of tactical, immersive FPS experience. And the other hand, you've got a guy that's sitting around the corner looking at you with his invisible camera while you think you're being like John Wick stealthy commando guy. And he's just like,
he's just watching you.
Watching everything you're doing. It's definitely problematic, but I'm open to better ideas than making it some sort of physicalized drone, you know? I don't know how else they could do it, really.
Yeah, I don't either. And like you said, it's like tough. It is such a strong marketing tool for them. Like, virtual photography is not going away. It's a big deal. Companies, I've seen big companies, Ubisoft, CDPR, like they use virtual photography from the community to advertise their game. CIG is not going to want to get rid of that. And they can't just throw in like some pause menu photo mode because the game doesn't pause. Mm. You could still use the photo mode to kind of move around and stuff. So it feels like something physicalized is the only choice.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends how serious they want to take the FPS gameplay experience of the game. Like, how serious are you about it, CIG? You know, what do you value more? You know,
pretty pictures. Pretty dead bodies.
Yeah.
Yikes. I shouldn't say that on camera. that's an interesting one, though, the third person.
Yeah.
The last thing I want to talk about, just kind of rounding out the whole FPS talk, is our choice of FPS in this game. This is something you focused on a lot in the beginning. You know, we have a very limited amount of places that we can get involved in FPS, but I guess this is kind of a subjective one. From your perspective, what's the most exciting things that Star Citizen can offer in terms of FPS missions or scenarios that you wouldn't ever find in other games?
Good question. I mean, it really is, I think, such a big factor of many people's FPS experience, and thing they're most looking forward to is, you know, boarding parties, right? It's boarding ships, raiding ships, taking over, wiping out the crew that's on board. Stealing the ship. I mean, we already have it to some degree with piracy now, with soft deathing and the ability to kind of lock ships down, you know, distort them until they're shut down, blow open the door, board them. Those are some of the coolest experiences I see in Star Citizen right now. Boarding ships. And then, you know, the guy who's been boarded gets out his seat. He goes to where he can best defend his ship. You know, it's life or death. He's got a million SCU worth of cargo on board that he needs to protect. That's like peak space game FPS gameplay, in my opinion. And you know, the next extension of that is, you know, the Legionnaire and being able to roll up on an Idris and bust through an airlock and deploy, you know, like a squad in without, you know, having to rely on zero G, and everybody's on board fighting in you know, standard gravity in a proper like giant FPS map that's happened completely organically.
Yeah.
That's peak FPS gameplay right there, you know? That's the dream for so many people. The people who are into the FPS gameplay side of Star Citizen, I think that's what they want. That's what they're waiting for. They want to be the Marine that boards a cap ship and takes it over from the inside. They want to be the guy that jumps out of a drop ship on a planetary outpost and sweeps the base and kills the players or the AI that are inhabiting it, you know, to complete a mission or retrieve an item or take, you know, capture something, right? That's the peak FPS gameplay experience, I think, that Star Citizen can offer.
Yeah. I think people miss how many folks are going to just never fly a spaceship because they just want to be that kind of like just a boarding party or a dropship soldier or something. Yeah. Go ahead.
My org is made up of a lot of those people. You know, they just love being the meat that gets dropped into the grinder. You know, it's such a thrill. Like, even now when I do some of these org events, it's like, you know, you drop 10 guys out of a prowler and they're all jumping out each side and getting on the ground and then, you know, rushing an objective or something. Like I said earlier, it's janky as hell. The whole FPS experience can be janky and trashy as hell, but there's nothing else that really gives you that feeling of what Star Citizen can already give you when it comes to FPS gameplay. It just, we just have a way to go before it's like, you know, refined and reaching that peak. But again, there's huge potential there.
It already feels very unique to you, though.
Yes. Yeah. Definitely already unique. You know, there really isn't any other games that are doing that, at least in a sci-fi setting, with that level of immersion and fidelity.
Yeah. That's the kicker. You can fight on a spaceship. You can fight in a cave. You can fight in a building, a bunker, on a planet's surface, floating in space. It's like it's hard to match that. And it's a bummer that Star Citizen has had so much trouble making it stable. But like, once it is stable, I think I'm just as excited for like that group stuff as you're talking.
Same. I mean, you know, it's a space game. They haven't even figured out the space aspect of it yet. You know, so the flight, it's a spaceship.
Just getting started, man. Hold on. You gotta wait. We gotta pass the start line first. Yeah, no, we've got a ways to go. But I've never felt more positive about where Star Citizen is headed. I will say last year was a definite low point for sort of the feeling of the game at the current time. I think we all knew that they were moving along in the direction of certain things, server meshing, PES, all that jazz. But like last year, summer, lots of quiet, lots of just sort of nothing really moving, no updates really coming out. And we knew that they were waiting for CitizenCon. But now that they've released the CitizenCon info and then continued to follow it up with like supporting covers on these different features, I think now feels like a better time than ever to start to be more interested in Star Citizen. How about you? What are you thinking? How do you feel?
I agree. It's like the content coming out of CIG has been insane. Some of the best ISCs and SELs we've had in such a long time. Them actually following up on everything they showed at CitizenCon, it really feels like they're delivering now, right? And while everything we get in Tier 0 and 323, you know, won't be perfect for sure, we are in a position now to just iterate on it much quicker. And the cadence is picking up. And, you know, with the teams consolidated now, yeah, things are just going to progress quicker and quicker. And it just everything feels, the development feels more tangible. It feels like, just feels more tangible.
Communication also feels more in line. Like you said, they covered CitizenCon and then they followed up with this stuff. And it all feels like they have so much more direction on what they want to show us and get in front of us than just like, this is ready. Let's put it on ISC. Now, I'm sure that's not what people were doing. If anybody's watching, I know that you guys are much more organized than that. But the feeling from the outside, it definitely feels a lot more congruent over the last 5 months.
Yeah, exactly. It does. It's good. It's a good place to be. It's exciting times. I've never covered as much news content as I have recently. So I'm not normally I don't normally cover the new stuff, but I'm enjoying it more and more. And because everything's more tangible, I've got more to say about it. It's, you know, we're getting closer and closer. So
love to see it, man. Any last thoughts from yourself?
No, man. I think, I don't normally do many podcasts, so sorry if I rambled a little bit, guys, and didn't give you like a huge amount of controversial stuff to go off and sink your teeth into. I'm usually a pretty neutral kind of guy, not neutral, but I tend to not have like these giant swinging opinions on things. So I don't know. I hope you guys enjoyed. Thanks for having me on, Tomato. I don't have any sort of closing comments other than looking forward to getting it in my hands. It's usually when I get it in my hands and I'm experiencing it, that's when I'm like, man, this is trash. What was I thinking? What was I saying on Space Tomatoes podcast? I should have seen this coming. This is terrible.
Yeah, then they pull this back up. Yeah, you're going to see yourself clipped on the top of Reddit and like, look at Detox said this would be great. He told us.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. It's like when I get in my hands, you know, maybe we'll have another one of these talks in a few months and maybe my opinions will be more passionate and maybe I would have changed my opinions. But generally, it's looking good, man. It's generally looking good. And all the FPS guys in my org generally are pretty hopeful for it. Let's get it in our hands and see.
Absolutely, dude. Before we go, let the folks know where they can find that additional news you're covering more now.
It's a little bit here and there. So Detox on YouTube. My actual account name is like Detox TV, all one word, but I'm just the name is Detox on YouTube. Detox on Twitch. I also have a second channel called Detox's Lab where I dabbled in covering other games and other content as well. And that's it. That's where you can find me for the most part.
Cool, man. And also,
yeah,
streaming what? How many times a week?
I stream Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I think the same schedule as you, actually. I think you stream one more day.
Yeah, Saturdays as well.
Saturdays. So I stream Monday, Wednesday, Fridays from 6 p.m. UTC. So
6 p.m. Yeah. UTC. Okay. Our times almost kind of line up. Maybe we'll be able to hop a game at some point. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me so much. And everybody else, thank you for watching. Or if you're on audio platforms where there are no ads, that's my favorite. I will tell you this. Never mind, I won't tell you anything. You can check us out on audio platforms where it's completely smooth, no ads. We're supported by supporters, and we like to put them out on, you know, because, like, who doesn't like to go on a car ride and just listen to a bunch of people talking about space games? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you all for showing up. I hope you enjoyed this look into FPS combat. We've got a lot more coverage on 323 coming up as we enter Evocati, I believe, and probably get to PTU sometime in the next few weeks and then start actually playing these features. I'm looking forward to it, man. I don't know about you, but I am beyond hyped for this patch.
Me too. I'm done with 322 live. I got nothing else I want to do there.
That crap, it's like impossible. Here. I don't want it. All right, man. Thank you again for joining me.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah, thanks.
Of course. Steve. Thank you all, and I will see you all next week.